One day, Naomi got herself together, she and her two daughters-in-law, to leave the country of Moab and set out for home. She had heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give them food, and so she started out from the place she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law with her, on the road back to the land of Judah. After a short while on the road, Naomi told her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, go home and live with your mothers, and may God treat you as graciously as you treated your deceased husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband." She kissed them and they cried openly. They said, "No, we're going on with you, to your people." But Naomi was firm. "Go back, my dear daughters. Why would you come with me? Do you suppose I still have sons in my womb who can become your future husbands? Go back, dear daughters. On your way, please. I'm too old to get a husband. Why, even if I said, 'There's still hope,' and this very night got a man and had sons, can you imagine being satisfied to wait until they were grown? Would you wait that long to get married again? No, dear daughters, this is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow." Again, they cried openly. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth embraced her and held on. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back home to live with her own people and gods. Go with her." But Ruth said, "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. And where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die, and that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God, not even death itself is going to come between us." When Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in. And so the two of them travelled on together to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was soon buzzing. "Is this really our Naomi? And after all this time?" But she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Bitter. The strong one has dealt me a bitter blow. I left here full of life, and God has brought me back with nothing but the clothes on my back. Why would you call me Naomi? God certainly doesn't. The strong one ruined me." And so Naomi was back, and Ruth the foreigner with her, back from the country of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. To be continued. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. It so happened that Naomi had a relative by marriage, a man prominent and rich, connected with Elimelech's family. His name was Boaz. One day, Ruth the Moabite foreigner said to Naomi, "I'm going to work. I'm going out to glean among the sheaves, following after some harvester who will treat me kindly." Naomi said, "Go ahead, dear daughter." And so she set out. She went and started gleaning in a field, following in the wake of the harvesters. Eventually, she ended up in the part of the field owned by Boaz, her father-in-law, Elimelech's relative. A little later, Boaz came out from Bethlehem, greeting his harvesters. "God be with you," they replied, "and God bless you." Boaz asked his young servant, who was a foreman over the farmhands, "Who is this young woman? Where did she come from?" The foreman said, "Why, that's the Moabite girl, the one who came with Naomi from the country of Moab. She asked permission. 'Let me glean,' she said, 'and gather among the sheaves, following after your harvesters.' She's been at it steady ever since, from early morning until now, without so much as a break." Then Boaz spoke to Ruth. "Listen, my daughter, from now on, don't go to any other field to glean. Stay right here in this one, and stay close to my young women. Watch where they are harvesting and follow them, and don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, feel free to go and drink from the water buckets that the servants have filled." She dropped to her knees, then bowed her face to the ground. "How does this happen, that you should pick me out and treat me so kindly? Me, a foreigner." Boaz answered her, "I've heard all about you, heard about the way you treated your mother-in-law after the death of her husband, and how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and have come to live among a bunch of total strangers. God reward you well for what you've done, and with a generous bonus besides from God, to whom you come seeking protection under his wings." She said, "Oh, sir, such grace, such kindness, I don't deserve it. You've touched my heart, treated me like one of your own, and I don't even belong here." At the lunch break, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, eat some bread, dip it in the wine." So she joined the harvesters. Boaz passed the roasted grain to her. She ate her fill and even had some left over. When she got up to go back to work, Boaz ordered his servants, "Let her glean where there's still plenty of grain on the ground. Make it easy for her. Better yet, pull some of the good stuff out and leave it for her to glean. Give her special treatment." Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. When she threshed out what she had gathered, she ended up with nearly a full sack of barley. She gathered up her gleanings, went back to town, and showed her mother-in-law the results of her day's work. She also gave her the leftovers from her lunch. Naomi asked her, "So where did you glean today? Whose field? God bless whoever it was who took such good care of you." Ruth told her mother-in-law, "The man with whom I work today, his name is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Why, God bless that man. God hasn't quite walked out on us after all. He still loves us in bad times as well as good." Naomi went on, That man, Ruth, is one of our circle of covenant redeemers, a close relative of ours. Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "We'll listen to this. He also told me, stick with my workers until my harvesting is finished." Naomi said to Ruth, "That's wonderful, dear daughter. Do that. You'll be safe in the company of his young women. No danger now of being raped in some stranger's field." So Ruth did it. She stuck close to Boaz's young women, gleaning in the fields daily, until both the barley and wheat harvesting were finished, and she continued living with her mother-in-law. Amen.
Count your blessings, could we? Don't have enough fingers and toes for that at all. Abundant blessings are God. The words of that song were incredible, weren't they? Beautiful. You know, don't compare yourself with these guys who've got gold and nice houses. Compare yourself to what God's doing to you, doing for you. The blessings, abundant blessings. Great, great. Well, we've started our wee soap opera, haven't we? Yeah? So, remember, this family left. They left Bethlehem last week. The four of them, they were living in the land that God had chosen for them, the promised land. They had a very hierarchical positions. Very good, but they just decided, no, let's go. We're scared of what might happen. So they moved to Moab, and they lost a lot. Naomi lost her husband. Her sons got married to Moab ladies, but they died. They became totally poverty-stricken. They had nothing. Gone from being very rich and well-respected to being so poor that they had nothing. And during that time, they forgot about God. They never asked for God's leading. They never asked for his direction. They never asked for his blessing. And they had gone from a land where they worshipped together with families and friends to a land that had many gods and they couldn't worship at all. It was quite a difference. But now, things have changed. Or they're starting to change. They decided to go back to Judah. Naomi released her two daughter-in-laws, saying, "You don't have to stay with me. Please go back to your families, go and find husbands. Don't hang around with me." And Ruth said, "No, I'm going to stick with you, Naomi. I'm going to love you, look after you, care for you." And Ruth actually went so far as to say, "And your God will be my God." That's quite a declaration. She wasn't going to worship all her Moab gods, but the one true God. But during this time, Naomi had got bitter. "Poor me. Look at what's happening in my life. I'm the worst of the worst. I've not got any money. I've not got any family. I'm in a foreign land. It's awful." And people were calling her bitter, the name bitter. It's quite a situation, isn't it? Well, now we're in today's episode. And I wasn't really very sure what to call it. And I've called it a lucky break. Some people live with luck, don't they? The best of luck to you tomorrow. Hope it goes well. I hate that. It's awful, isn't it? Or I've been really lucky today. Look at the bargains I've got. But you see, we as Christians, we don't believe in luck, do we? We don't do bingo. We don't do the lottery. We certainly don't do raffles. And some Christians think, "Oh no, I'll contribute to that." You can contribute to that without taking a raffle ticket. That way you're given a testimony. "I don't do raffles, but here you are, put that towards your cause." Much better than taking the raffle ticket and being the same as everybody else. But sometimes Christians take blessings as if they're lucky. You know, I've heard people say before, "I had a dreadful day yesterday, and you know why? Because I never had my quiet time." That's not what God does. He doesn't play games like that, does he? Does your God play like that?
No.
Mine doesn't.
No, God loves us.
He does. He loves us. Whether we have our quiet time or not, he wants you to have a quiet time. But whether you have a quiet time or not, the Bible talks about us having a personal relationship with God and Jesus, doesn't it? And we become God's family. We're his children. And he loves to bless his children. Count your blessings. He loves to bless his children. It's not luck. It's more than luck. It's a blessing from God. Incredible. But you see, you can't blame Naomi and Ruth. Looking at the last 10 years and what's happened to them. Losing their husband, losing their sons, becoming poor. She had no future, no family, no friends. She was in poverty. She had become bitter. You can understand how she would think of herself as being unlucky, can't you? But it was because she had gone away from God. She had left God on a shelf somewhere. But today's episode is very different. We're going to see God's amazing blessings in their lives. Today is good for us because we're going to see amazing blessings in our lives too. Do you believe that? I do. My God blesses me all the time, much more than I deserve. So, let's look at Ruth's initiative. Ruth had to ask Naomi permission to go and get a job. She needed a job because they needed food. They needed some income. But because she was a foreigner, she needed permission to do this. And so she got permission to go and work. This was probably the first day after they arrived back because they needed so many things. It was desperate, it was urgent, and off she went to find a place to work. She thought, I'll get a job with the reapers. Now, these are people who follow after the tractors or whatever it was, and they pick up what's left over, and they can keep what they carry. Are you with me? So that's what she went out to do. And she had permission to do it, even though she's a Moabite. But, you know, sometimes when people go and do this, even though it's legal for them to do it, the landowners can be very horrible indeed, especially to foreigners. So now we're going to be introduced to Boaz. Quite a man. Quite a reputation he had. They say that he was a man of great standing. That's quite a compliment, isn't it? A man of wealth. A mighty man. That phrase, mighty man, means he's served in the army and he had good standing. Almost like a knight. Quite a man. It says in verse 3, and as it turned out, which is a wee bit like she was lucky, she ended up in the right field. And this was God preparing for the rest of the blessings that are going to happen. Are you ready? Incredible. Wow. Of all the fields in all the world that she could have chosen to ask for work, she chose Boaz's. She didn't know that. She didn't know that he was a relative of their family. He was a relative of Naomi's husband. Okay. So he was still a close relative. Look at this. God ordained. It wasn't a chance. But God had preordained her to go to that field. And to meet Boaz for the rest of the things that are going to happen. God is there. And he wants to bless her. Wow. God is constantly at work in all of our lives. Do we believe that? He works behind the scenes as well as in front of the scenes. He arranges people to make difference in our lives. He arranges circumstances to make difference in our lives. And he wants to bless us. It might not be now, but it will be. Wow. No such thing as coincidence. It just happens because God wants to bless us. I mean, we talked about this before. Looking back in our lives, we can see people who affected our lives positively, with words, with guidance, with blessings. God has put them there already. So, Boaz, he arrives at the field, and lots and lots of people, we don't know how many people were there, working and gleaning, all there. And already starts. The first thing he says to his workers is, peace be with you. Now that's not normal for these men to do that, these rich men. But this peace be with you, he's showing that he believed in God. He's showing benevolence to the people who are working for him. And he looks around this multitude of people and he says, oh, who are you? You're the new one. To Ruth. Welcome. That was quite something else, wasn't it? Really quite something. And Ruth said, hello, pleased to meet you, whatever she said. But then she asked a question. Quite cheeky. Here she is, been blessed, picking up all the bits and pieces that have been left over. And she said, look, I tell you what, I don't just want to glean, I want to reap, which means I want to work for you. I would have thought that was quite cheeky, would you not? But no, she was being bold. Incredible. Then Boaz came back to her and said, yes, I'll give you a job. But I won't just give you a job just now. I'll give you a permanent job. That is quite a blessing, isn't it? She's gone from having no food whatsoever to gleaning, to reaping, to having a permanent job. Superb. This is amazing what Boaz is doing. And he also, he said, Boaz said this, I'm going to protect you. The men have been warned to keep their paws off you. Because basically, if you can imagine a very pretty young girl going and sweeping up at a construction site, can you imagine that? It wouldn't be a very nice experience for her. And that's what it was like in the fields. All the guys that worked in the field were rough and ready. And they, because she was a foreigner, they were going to misuse her. But Boaz went ahead and said, don't. Don't misuse this girl. Treat her nice. Keep your paws off her. But it wasn't just that. Now, that's a good blessing to start with, isn't it? The blessing continued. And Boaz said, and I'll tell you what else. Ruth, you can use the water. People usually had to bring their own. But she was allowed to use the water there, which meant she had to take time off her work, go all the way up there, sit there, relax, get her temperature back again, have a drink of water, and go back to the field. That was part of the conditions of going for water. It was a rest time, a coffee break. Now, the rest of the guys in the field didn't all get that privilege, but she did. That's quite something else. Then, not only that, Boaz said, I want you to come to the staff party. So he got all the guys that were working regularly with them, and they had a special lunch. And Ruth was invited to that. Incredible! What have I done to deserve this? This is quite a response. I wonder if we ask that with God. What have I done to deserve your blessing? The answer is we haven't done anything. But the answer for Ruth was she had been faithful. Been faithful with Naomi, looking after her, keeping her well. And she was receiving the overwhelming blessings. She asked out loud, why are you doing all this for me? Why? Now in James it says, you do not have because you do not ask. Have you heard that before? So we might think that Ruth has been a wee bit cheeky, but she's doing what it says in the Bible. She's asking for a permanent job. She's asking for blessings from God. Superb! And how does God respond to her asking? He answers and gives her blessing. She says, I don't deserve these blessings, which in the Hebrew is the center of her thinking. It means that she's being very humble. She doesn't deserve it. But now she is worshipping the God of Israel, the same God as Naomi. She's showing that she's got faith. Incredible. Her faithfulness has been seen. Boaz is seeing her faithfulness, and she's getting reimbursed for that. It says in the Hebrews, God rewards those who seek him in faith. He bestows his blessing on them. Did you hear that? God blesses those who seek him in faith. She is having an overflow of blessings. It's superb. What a day it's become for her. Things are getting better and better. She was unemployed. She had no connections. She was a foreigner. Now she's hired. She's got a permanent job. She's got water. She's been invited to the company lunch. She's incredibly blessed. And she's not going to be rebuked or harassed. What an extra blessing is that? She's going to remain faithful. She's saying that that wee drop of faith that she has shown has been blessed. She's going to get closer to Naomi. She's going to get closer to Naomi's God. That faith will be blessed. faithfulness. For us to be blessed, we have to recognize that God has got his hand in our lives. Do we believe that? We have to request his blessing. You have not because you ask not. We need to realize that God is blessing us. Even when we don't see it, he's working on a blessing for us. Oh, what a blessing. What bonuses she's getting. And then what happens? She decides to praise God. God's blessed her. She wants to praise God. She wants to thank him. She wants to show she's got a grateful heart. I wonder, do we do that? Or do we sometimes forget? We forget God's blessed us. I wonder how often we say grace before we eat because God is blessing us and with food. Or do we just take it for granted? I wonder how many bless God and thank him and praise him because we've woke up this morning and we're healthy enough to come to church. We need to get into the habit of praising and thanking our living God for the blessings he's given to us every day. So then Ruth went home. She worked a long day. And she's telling Naomi all these things that have happened. And Naomi can't believe it. Wow, of all places for you to go and get work, you went to Boaz's field. That's incredible. What, he gave you a full-time job. He's given you coffee breaks. He asked you to the staff party. He's told you to come back permanently. Wow, that is incredible. And Naomi praises and thanks God. This is the start. How God is blessing them and they're expecting God to bless them. Count your blessings. How many times does God bless us? How does he bless us? Be ready for blessing. Look for them. Ask for them. Do you remember the story of the 10 lepers? And Jesus cured them all. How many went back and said thank you?
One.
I wonder what one we are. God is blessing each one of us constantly, daily, throughout our lives. How often do we thank him and praise him for his greatness to us? We've got a loving Father who loves us, his children, and will never tire of giving to us. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you so much for this story. We thank you that it's an example for us to follow, for us to be faithful to you, for us to recognize your blessings to us, for us to be thankful to you for all your abundant blessings. Help us as we get closer to you every day. Help us to bless others. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name.